Okay. Yeah. Want to be sure where you're dropping these people off, all right? Okay. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 1. It is Pentecost Sunday, and so let's talk about it together from Acts, chapter 1. We'll see what it is historically, what it means to us today, and what it means to us personally as believers in the Lord. All right, Acts chapter 1. And again, while you're turning there, just to speak of the Shilinskis, if you follow the news very much at all, you know that I believe it's Congo, that they are dealing with a severe outbreak of the Ebola virus over there, and it is spreading throughout the African region. And so they have asked us to pray for them as well, where that is concerned. So as you pray for the Shilinskis, remember to pray for the Lord's protection over them. A very sensitive place in the world. Acts chapter 1, I guess I ought to turn there too. Let's see. And let's go ahead and read. I was just going to read 4 to 8, but let's start all the way back in verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. This gospel, this epistle is written actually by Luke, the gospel writer. He writes the gospel to a friend by the name of Theophilus, and now again writes this letter to his friend as well to continue the story of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very prevalent in the gospel of Luke, and here also in the book of Acts and in the church. So let's read together what that's all about. Beginning in verse 1, Acts 1, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about that today as well. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit, which he said, "You heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And now look with me at the second chapter, and we'll read verses 1 to 4, and we'll see what happens on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is poured out. Bless you. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this Pentecost Sunday when we remember the coming of the gift of the Holy Spirit and all he meant to the church in those days and all that he now means in the church in our day. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who is with us even now, dwelling in those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer today, Father, is that you would open the eyes and the ears of our understanding, and that the Holy Spirit would give us great revelation today of what it means to be filled and controlled with the Holy Spirit, and what he wants to do in and through our lives as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our prayer today, Father, is, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the church and use the saints for the glory of the kingdom. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Something else that I want to do over the course of this message this morning. Actually, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I have probably bitten off more than I can chew here this morning, because I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the kingdom of God. But I also want to encourage you today, and just to remind you of the reality of the presence of God in our world today, and to remind you that God really is a giving God. We'll talk to that issue more toward the end of the message this morning. But it was the understanding of these kinds of things that excited us nearly 50 years ago when we first got into the ministry and started teaching the Bible. I guess, like many people, I don't know that I was specifically taught this. Maybe I was, I don't know. But my idea and my concept of God was this, that God is way out there somewhere, and I'm here on the earth. And one day, I'll die, and because I believe in Jesus, I'll go to be with God. But until that time, there's not a whole lot of connection going on between me and the Creator. And when we learned 50 years ago that God wants to come and dwell in our hearts, you know, the Bible tells us in the very beginning of time, when God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, and the Bible said that God came and walked with Adam in the cool of the day. And they had personal fellowship and relationship together. And when I came to understand that's the God that I was worshiping all along, and that God wants to come into my life today and wants to do awesome things and glorify His name in the process. When I had that revelation and realized that God is alive and well here and now, the Bible calls them in the Psalms that the very present help in time of trouble. God is here. God is now. James tells us the Lord is near. And so God is with us today. Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever freedoms we need or healing or provision that we need, He can still do those kinds of things in our lives today if we'll trust in Him, surrender our lives to Him, and live for the glory of His name. He does these things by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost so many years ago. Is still with us today to still do the same things through us today that He did through Jesus. Look, guys, we know that Jesus is the Son of God. We understand that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we get that. He's God in the flesh. But we also understand when we read the Bible that when Jesus came into the world, He laid aside the privileges of deity. Didn't lay aside deity. Don't misunderstand me. He was always God, always will be God. But Philippians tells us He laid aside the privileges of deity and basically lived in the earth as a man. And Luke tells us, when Jesus was teaching in that message in His home church for the first time, and He said from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the good news, to heal the sick," and all of those kinds of things that He told him to do. Acts 10 and 38 says, "You know of Jesus, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit, went about doing good, healing all of those who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with Him." Those verses of Scripture, those passages tell us that it was Jesus walking and living as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit, doing the will of God. And then when Jesus leaves and He ascends to heaven, He pours that same Holy Spirit out on the disciples. And what happens with them? They go into all the world and do the same things Jesus did. Why? Because they had the same Spirit on them that Jesus had on Him. And now it's our turn. Now it's our turn. This is our day. And we need to understand that the same Holy Spirit is with us today to still do those same works in and through us as the children of God. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and in Ephesians 3 and 20, and you probably know the verse. "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, far beyond anything that we can ask or think, according to His power, which works mightily in us." It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can still do the same things that he ever did because he has never changed. Talk about Pentecost for a few moments this morning and kind of get an understanding of what's happening here. The disciples are celebrating the feast. It's a Jewish feast. One of the main Jewish feasts of Israel was the Feast of Pentecost. There was Passover, which we celebrate at Easter. Pentecost, we celebrate that in this season of the year, the springtime. And then there's the Tabernacles, Feast of Booths. That's the third great feast of Israel that's celebrated late September, early October. It's a harvest feast, okay? And so the Jews are celebrating their feasts in obedience to the Lord. Now it's said that the feast of course, the feast of Passover, we know what that's all about. That's a picture of Jesus. Passover is the picture of Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for our sins. And when we come to Jesus Christ, the death angel has to pass over us because we belong to the Son of God. And so the Feast of Passover actually speaks about the Lord Jesus and what ministry he had. And so too does this feast speak of something that the Lord wants to do in us. Only in this occasion, it's by the Holy Spirit. It is said that, and all of these feasts, by the way, had to do about the agricultural season and harvests and all of those kinds of things. But it's also said that the Feast of Pentecost was a feast that for the Jews commemorated the time when Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai and God gave him the Ten Commandments. Remember that story? God writes with his finger on two tablets of stone his word for the children of Israel. And Moses brings it back down and all that went on all around that. Well, this is the time, and this is the feast, and this is what's commemorated by the Jews at the Feast of Pentecost, the time when Moses went to the top of the mountain and received the commandments written on tablets of stone. But now watch what happens on this particular Pentecost and every Pentecost since. No longer is God writing with his finger on tablets of stone. But now, God is writing by his Spirit on the tablet of our heart. His commandments. His word. He puts his word in us. He changes us from the inside out. All of those commandments we look at and we have to do this and we have to do that and all of the have-tos of the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit comes and fills your life, all of those have-tos they become want-tos. He literally gives us new desire in our heart. He changes who we are on the inside and changes us from the inside out. We become new people, new creatures, the Bible tells us. Suddenly, love becomes the dominating character of our life. And we just want to love everybody all the time. We desire to live righteously. We desire to do the will of God and obey what God is telling us to do. But listen, the change on the inside is not the only thing the Holy Spirit came to do in the disciples and in the apostles in the book of Acts. He not only came to change them on the inside, but he came to anoint them with power to do the work of the ministry that Jesus was calling them to do. It's exactly what Jesus tells us there in verse 8 of chapter 1. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses throughout all the earth. And so this is what God is calling us to do. And this is what Pentecost is all about. And the disciples went out and miracles took place at the hands of the disciples. Signs and wonders took place at the hands of these great men of God. And they did God's will. And listen, the will of God was done on the earth just as it is in heaven. Jesus tells us to pray, your kingdom come. Yes. your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe those two phrases are actually saying the same thing. Your kingdom come. Your rule come. Your power come. Then your will be done. How many of you know when God's rule comes into the earth, His will is done? When His rule comes to our lives, His will is done, you see. So when the kingdom comes and the Holy Spirit comes in power, He changes us so that we do the will of God. He anoints us to be ministers and witnesses for the glory of the Lord and for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, let me say it this way. We all know that because we believe in Jesus, we're going to go to heaven. We believe in Jesus, we're going to go to heaven. But I believe what these texts are telling us is this. We believe in Jesus, we go to heaven. When we receive the Holy Spirit, heaven comes to us. Heaven comes to us. Look over at the book of Ephesians with me and the first chapter. How many of you could use a little heaven in your life today? Anybody could use a little heaven, a little freedom, a little peace and joy, a little less aches and pains, you know. Whatever it is, whatever heaven has got, God wants to give it to us. I'm going to show you that this morning. I told you a bit off too much. I just want to show you through all this morning how good our God is and what He wants to do for us, and how much He wants to give to us. Most of the time we have an idea, I promise you this is true. You know, we come to church and we put on a good faith face when we come to church. But I think a lot of times we still feel like that when we're praying, we're almost trying to force God to do something for us. Almost trying to make God do something for us. As though we got to wrestle the blessings of the Lord out of His clenched fist because He's trying His best not to let go of them. And what I hope you can see from today is that God's hand is wide open to us. God's hand is wide open to us. Oh my gosh. It is true that we need to seek His face and not His hand. Remember, we read that last week over in Psalm 27. David wrote to God, and he said, God, when you said, seek my face, I said, oh Lord, your face I will seek. See, God wants us to know Him face to face. We want to get stuff from God, but God wants to know us face to face. So we can get to that place where we just want God. And we love the Lord. And we want to see Him face to face. I promise you, when you desire His face, you will find His hand open to you. And you'll see blessings in your life like you've never seen before. Where did I ask you to turn? Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this. Look at verse 13 and 14. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You believed in Jesus. God gave you the Holy Spirit. Watch what happens next. Verse 14. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with the view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. What in the world does that mean? Well, let me try to unravel it for you right here. Listen to what he says. He says the Holy Spirit is given to us as the pledge of our inheritance. Now, how many of you know that our ultimate inheritance as saints of God is God? Is God. There is so many ways to go. I know you're all looking for a mansion in glory. God's got something better for you than that. Himself. I hope you can wrap your head around that. Better than a mansion is the presence of God. He is our ultimate inheritance. And it tells us here that the Holy Spirit is the pledge of our inheritance. I wrote down a couple of other, if I can find it here in my notes, a couple other translations say this about that word pledge. In fact, the footnote in my Bible says, he is the down payment of the inheritance. The down payment. Another translation says that he is the first installment of our inheritance. He is the foretaste, listen, he is the foretaste of what's to come. We're looking for heaven, and the scriptures are telling us when the Holy Spirit comes to us, the Holy Spirit brings heaven to us. And he is the foretaste of what we're looking forward to when we finally get into eternity to be with God. He's bringing heaven to us so that we can experience and have a foretaste of heaven on earth while we are on our way to the presence of the Lord in heaven. The Holy Spirit comes to bring heaven to us. This gift of the Holy Spirit is as much for us as it is for those in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. I apologize. I meant to tell you to hold on to Acts chapter 2. I got another verse. Acts chapter 2, I'll do this while you're looking back for it. I'll just give you this. Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit is poured out, the believers, they begin to speak in languages that they've never learned before. Great confusion happens around the people that are there around them, wondering what in the heck is going on? How is it that these people are speaking all of these different languages? All of this stuff is going on there. And it gives Peter the opportunity. Here it is, guys. God gives us the Holy Spirit and does whatever he wants to by the Holy Spirit in our lives for the purpose of ultimately giving us the opportunity of witnessing for Jesus Christ. Peter, John, all of them are speaking in tongues. People are wondering what the heck is going on. Peter stands up and takes the opportunity to preach the gospel to all that are within earshot. Let me explain to you what's happening, he says. This is all prophesied in the Old Testament. Back in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that God is going to pour out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. And what you're seeing is the fulfillment of that prophecy. And it's all because of Jesus, whom you crucified, who was raised by the Father, and now sits at his right hand, he has poured out all that you see and hear now. So, get down to verse 36 with me. Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They're convicted. Okay. They've heard the word of the Lord. The Holy Spirit has convicted their hearts and what they've heard. They know that Jesus is the Son of God, the resurrected Son of God. And so they're pierced to the heart and they say to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? What's our responsibility now? What do we need to do to get right with God? And Peter says in verse 38, repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, gosh, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit we received, you repent, believe in Jesus, God will give you the Holy Spirit as well. Now watch this. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you, and it's for your children, the next generation. And it's for all who are far off, the next generation after that, and the next generation after that, and the next generation after that, until you finally get to our generation. And he says the Holy Spirit is for every generation, including this generation that you and I live in today. For all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Has God called you to himself? The Holy Spirit is for you today. God wants to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, when God pours out the Holy Spirit begins to manifest. Again, it brings heaven to earth. It begins to manifest the presence of the kingdom of heaven on the earth. He manifests the things of the kingdom on the earth. Let me just say a few words about the kingdom, and we're going to wrap this up and have some prayer. Many times in our, particularly in our generation, many times in the church today, people who hear the phrase kingdom of God, they think exclusively of the second coming of the Lord. Okay? And don't misunderstand, Jesus is coming back. Okay? He'll rule it all. Okay? The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. That's true. But listen, when the Bible speaks of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, it's not always talking about the second coming of the Lord. Sometimes it's talking about what has already happened in the coming of the Holy Spirit poured out by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit has come to manifest the kingdom of heaven on earth today. Let me show you some scriptures to prove that to you. Look at Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes to the believers in the city of Colossae, and he's blessing the Lord for their faithfulness and their faith and all of these kinds of things, talking about how he prays for them continually and all of these kinds of things, giving thanks to the Father of lights, he says in verse 12, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of God. God has qualified us through Jesus to share in the presence of God. Verse 13, watch this. For he, that's God, rescued us. Please notice the tense, that's past tense. God has rescued us from the domain of darkness and, watch, transferred us. Past tense again. Transferred us, past tense, already happened. Transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Brother and sister, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you already dwell in the kingdom of God. You already dwell in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven has come to dwell in you, but you also dwell in it, in the Spirit, you see. We're talking about a spiritual kingdom here. I get that. But please understand that the privileges and the blessings and the good things of the kingdom of heaven are manifest in this generation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual things are manifest in a natural world by the power of the Creator upon those who believe. Look with me at the Gospel of Luke. Just show you again, just several examples. Here Jesus talking about the kingdom of God being something present tense even in his day. Luke chapter 17. If you know anything about the time period when Jesus lived, the Jews in that time period were greatly looking forward to the manifestation of the kingdom of Israel. Their expectations was God was going to send a Messiah. But their understanding of Messiah wasn't spiritual. Their understanding of Messiah is that he was going to come, bring the nation of Israel back to a position of power, deliver the nation of Israel from the rule of the Romans, and make the nation of Israel a great world power once again. They were looking for a natural kingdom. And because they were looking for a natural kingdom, they missed the spiritual kingdom that showed up in their very day. Did you know that many Christians are doing the same thing today? Many Christians are talking about the second coming of Jesus. Yes, he's coming. I've already affirmed that. Yes, he's going to establish the kingdom worldwide. Yes, he's going to do that. But many of us are looking for the second coming of Jesus, and we're missing what has already come to us in the person of the Holy Spirit in the spiritual kingdom that came when Jesus inaugurated it. We're so naturally minded, we're missing the spiritual blessings that God wants to give to us. And those spiritual blessings include the power of the Holy Spirit that can reproduce the life of Jesus in us, change our hearts so that we desire good and not evil, righteousness and not unrighteousness, so that we do the will of God, so that our hearts are filled with peace, so that our minds are filled with joy, so that the miracles that we seek, the healing that we desire, the freedom that we long for, we can experience it now. Brother and sister, I'm trying to tell you, we don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience heaven. God's trying His best to bring it to us now, today, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so the Pharisees are looking for the kingdom, for a natural kingdom, and they question Jesus about it in Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold." How many of you know that, what that word behold means? That word behold means step back and look deep. Take a long, hard look at what I'm about to tell you. The kingdom that you're looking for, look at what He says, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Or some translations say, "in your midst." Won't try to straighten all that out, but I will simply say this about that. The kingdom, look at what Jesus said, the kingdom is. Not will be, is. Is. Let's look at one more. Matthew chapter 28, I think is where I want to go. Maybe not. Let me see if I can find it. Matthew chapter 12. Wrong book, Pastor. Matthew, not Mark. In Matthew chapter 12 is the story of Jesus delivering a possessed man from demons. And Jesus heals him. Verse 22 tells us there. The rulers of the day, not believing in who Jesus is, they try to say, well, he delivered that man from demons because he himself is the son of Satan. Okay? And so Jesus, it says in verse 25, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I by Satan cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason, they will be your judges." But look at verse 28. "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you." Or the kingdom of God has come upon you. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has revealed itself. Don't miss the connection. The Spirit of God manifests the kingdom of God. And the Spirit is here now. In fact, Jesus tells us in that verse of Scripture, the kingdom of God is here now. It has already come. Matthew chapter, I've got several other scriptures, and again, I've bit off more than I can chew here. Let's look at this one. We're in Matthew. Go over to Matthew chapter 4. We talked earlier about how Jesus did the miracles that He did by the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon His life. Keep that in mind as we read from Matthew chapter 24. I'm sorry, Matthew 4. Not 24. I hope you didn't go to 24. Matthew 4, verse 23. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Let me just stop right there. Jesus is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. How many of you know the word gospel means good news? He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And what is the good news to these people? The good news is the kingdom has come. The kingdom is coming among you right now. Listen, Jesus is the king of the kingdom, guys. Wherever Jesus is, the kingdom is. All right? And so Jesus is telling, I've got good news for you. The kingdom is coming now. It's in your midst. It's here. But now watch what he goes on to say. He's not only proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, but he is healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Once again, don't miss the connection. He's preaching the kingdom. He's healing disease. He's preaching the kingdom. He's healing disease. These things are hand in hand. Watch what he's doing. He's preaching the kingdom. The kingdom has come. Heaven has come to earth. What does that mean? What does heaven look like? You think there's sick people in heaven? You think there are demon-possessed people in heaven? Absolutely not. So he's preaching to them that heaven has come, and then he's showing them what that looks like by delivering them from sicknesses and diseases and demons and all of these kinds of things. It's in school these days, we have show and tell. With Jesus, it's tell and show. Tell and show. He tells them about the kingdom. Then he shows them what happens when the kingdom comes upon their lives. Okay. And so what we learn from these verses of Scripture is that deliverance is in the kingdom. Healing is in the kingdom. Abundant life is in the kingdom. Daily provision is in the kingdom. Romans 14, 17 says, righteousness, peace, and joy are in the kingdom by the Holy Spirit. All of these spiritual blessings are in the kingdom. Victory of every kind over our enemy is in the kingdom. Let me show you one more verse pertaining to the kingdom of God, if you'll look with me over at Luke chapter 12. The kingdom has come. It's manifest in this world by the power of the Holy Spirit. And just to begin to wrap up the message this morning, let me just share it this way. God wants to give you the kingdom of heaven. I'm trying to tell you today that God is a giving God. That God that we think that we have to wrestle the blessings out of his clenched fist. Listen, God is a giving God. And God wants to give us the kingdom. This passage of Scripture in Luke 12, you also see the same story in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus talks about how the sparrow has everything that he needs, and why do you worry, and all these kinds of things. God takes care of the sparrows. God will take care of you, all of those kinds of things. This is the same teaching here in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. Just drop down with me I'll just start in verse 28. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? If God takes care of the plant life, how much more will he take care of human life? How much more will he do for you? Verse 29, do not seek what you eat, what you will eat, or what you will drink, and do not keep on worrying. For all of these things, your food, your clothing, your housing, your basic needs of life, all of these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, and your Father knows that you need these things. Verse 31, but seek his kingdom, his rule over your life, his kingdom, his presence in your life, And all of these things, the housing, the drink, the clothes, everything that you need, the basic necessities, everything you need, all of these things will be added to you. Verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock. It gives your Father great pleasure. Or another translation says, your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. God wants to give us the kingdom. He wants to give us spiritual blessing. He wants to give us spiritual power that make a difference in our natural lives. Our God is a giving God. Our God is a blessing God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gives us Jesus. Jesus gave us His life. God gives us the Holy Spirit. God gives us the kingdom of God. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. He goes on to say in that same passage of Scripture, He says, if you ask the Father for bread, He won't give you a stone. Which, by the way, harkens back to Jesus' temptation with the devil, where He told him to turn the stone to bread. Remember that? He said, if you ask the God for bread, He won't give you a stone. He said, if you being evil give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to His children? He's a giving God. He's a giving God. How many times have you heard me quote the scripture from 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9? The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone to whom He can show Himself strong. God's looking for people to bless. He's just looking for people who believe so that He can bless their lives. Psalm 84 and verse 11 says, the Lord God, He's a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing. Listen to this. Psalm 84, 11. Go look it up. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Yeah, there are conditions on the promises of God. But when you and I keep the conditions, the blessings are there for the picking. And God wants to give us those things. One last scripture. Romans chapter 8. The kingdom has come. The Holy Spirit has come to manifest the blessings of that kingdom in your life today. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, and He is, by the way, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? And I interpret that to mean victory in every area where the enemy attacks our lives. God wants to give us victory. Listen to what He said there. Look, guys, we struggle to believe that He can heal us. We struggle to believe that He can provide jobs for us. We struggle to believe that He can meet the bills and all of these kinds of things for us. We struggle to believe He can deliver us from sins and addictions or anything. We struggle to believe these things, and yet we claim to believe He gave us His Son. If we believe He gave us the greatest thing He could possibly give, His own Son, why do we have so much trouble believing He'll give us anything else? Anything else beyond His Son is a lesser gift. But He's already given us His Son. And with Him, He'll give us victory in everything. It pleases God. It pleases God when His children live by His Spirit, walk in kingdom blessing, and witness of the same to the world. Let's pray together. Father, I pray today that you can take this too much of a message and somehow bring life and light and understanding to the hearts of your precious people here today. Holy Spirit, would you enlighten all of us today concerning how much our Heavenly Father loves us, how freely He desires to give to us, how He desires to pour out His Spirit upon us. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, manifest His kingdom in us and through us to the glory of Your name. Thank You for it, Father. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask you to stay.